You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
Okay. As we like to say, let's do it. Stand by. Here we go. For everyone who's going to complain about, bring back the lukuku kukukuku of Charch and Great White North, I'm going to say no. I like this cheesy song. I need this cheesy song. I'm going to play this cheesy song, Charch, even harder from now on. But hey, if you're lucky, I'll play Great White North on the way out. Because that's the life you left behind for this new life in Utah, just like Brigham Young and the settlers back in the day. Hi, Charch.
Yes. Hi. It is great to be back. I'm excited to talk to you and excited to be in Utah. Yeah. If I get bored of the song, do I have to move to a different state? So you
nope.
So you end up coming up with some other state thing. And if I do have to move to a different state, can it be Hawaii? And we're going to do this at like 6 a.m. my time.
You can move to whatever state you like. I will adjust the songs accordingly, but you will have no say over your walk in or walk out music. I learned that
seems
lesson,
like a fair trade off.
I learned that lesson the hard way. Because I let our movie guy, Matt Miller, on the morning show on 97.3 The Game pick his walk-in music.
Oh, yeah. And?
And I absolutely hate it.
And now you're stuck. You can't undo it.
Exactly. I believe he chose Careless Whisper.
Oh, no, he did not. The point of the walk-up music is to get you fired up, right? It's supposed to be that thing that gets your blood pumping, gets you emotionally into the moment, right? Get you some energy. I mean, who's going to go Careless Whisper as their walk-up song? That's horrible.
That's what he chose, and that was my mistake. Oh, hold on a second. I've got both things going right now. Stand by. Hold on. Let me get this going. Okay, here we go.
No.
Yeah, and so we had done it long enough. Like, when I first started the show, I asked our contributors, I'm like, all right, what do you want for your walk-up music? And he said, Careless Whisper. And I'm like, okay, give it to him.
Wow.
I know.
He must be the best movie reviewer in the world. If you put up with Careless Whisper for his segment, he'd have to be a modern-day Roger Ebert.
You know what he is, Charch? He's a guy I really like talking to, laughing with stuff about. He's got a great mind for creative stuff, movies, television shows. He loves sports. He's more of a sports fan than I ever thought. Huge helmet collector in football, loves college football beyond all reason, even though he did not go to a college football factory. And he is the son of Gene Miller, who is a longtime radio legend in Milwaukee of the Reitman and Miller combination. Those two were like the number one morning show forever. So he has radio greatness lineage in him, even though he's not in radio full time. So I'm very happy to have him on the show.
Did I ever tell you I, for years, was in a fantasy movie league?
No, but that does not surprise me in the least.
Would you care to know how it worked?
You would probably draft movies based on what they'd make at the box office.
That's exactly right. We played in three. We played three times. We had the season was. We broke the year into three different segments, and you would play all three as a season. We split the summer right in half. So the first half of the big summer box office blockbusters were in one of them. The second half of the season of the summer was in a second one. And then you had holiday movies was in the third trimester. You would draft, and then you would get a point for every dollar of box office gross. And it was fascinating what you would do to try to figure out what's going to be huge. You're trying to figure out, okay, are they going to promote it? Are they going to spend against this? I'd go to YouTube and I'd see how many YouTube hits the trailer has already got. Is there a bunch of momentum from the trailer? Who are the stars that are in it? You're doing stuff like, say, what's it run? What is it going to open against? Right. So, you know, the opening week of this Marvel movie, is it 2 weeks off of another superhero movie, or does it have a clear run in its genre? Oh, and kids movies and horror movies were always outperforming expectations. It was a ton of fun.
Why don't you still do it? Because the movie industry is dead. Basically, it's not what it once was.
Yes. Honestly, yes. Sad. I think, you know, it died in the pandemic and we never rebirthed it.
It was already on a bad trajectory because they stopped taking risks to make interesting, unique movies. They stopped making rom-coms altogether, in part because they weren't very portable to international markets. India, Russia, China. All the rom-comery of a good Katherine Heigl movie didn't fucking sell over there, you know? You had to understand American, because you have to understand American culture, American dialogue, American sensibilities, because all of the good stuff in a rom-com is those little things that are funny to people who live in America and understand men and women and romance.
Well, maybe that's true. Maybe it's is this another Saudi thing? Is this, you know, Saudi Arabia funds so many things now, right? They've got this huge comedian event that's coming up.
You know,
and God forbid your rom-com's got like a woman driving a car. And then you're like, can't fund that.
Well, China has already bullied Disney to modify their movies for their market, and Disney has bent the knee to China on a variety of issues. You're aware of that, right?
Well, I guess
they modified their movies.
The NBA's done it for a long time. They changed the movies? They changed the movies in China, but they show a different version of the movie everywhere else.
Yeah, they're like, we'll take that movie, but you need to take this scene out, or you need to cut this character, and they would do that. Yeah, it's disgraceful. It's despicable. And you would have thought we'd be moving away from authoritarianism in 2025. Instead, in many ways, we're hurtling head first into it. George Orwell style. But I don't want to get depressed today, because while we're on the movie front, are you aware they have greenlit the sequel to The Simpsons movie?
Yes, I saw that go by my Twitter feed. I'm shocked by that.
July of 2027, please block that month off for the sequel to The Simpsons movie, which did very well, like $530 million. I, as a Simpsons hardcore fan, liked it. I didn't love it, though. You know why?
And what does... Why?
Because in a movie, you have to drive the plot too much. And driving the plot does not lend itself to as many yucks and funnies and just absurd sort of side quests, you know? They had to get Homer and company to go all the way out to Montana, and, you know, they would escape the asteroid, all this other stuff. Did give us one great scene, though. You know what my favorite scene of that movie was? What was your favorite scene of the
I can't remember any. I saw it in the theater. I can't remember any scenes from the movie, if I'm being honest.
Okay, do you remember the dome over the town and those trying to get inside of it, including Homer, where he thought he had escaped and he was flipping everybody off because he was in the magic sandbox, and then he gets stuck halfway because he's so fat, and then the outraged town people like attack him and almost kill him basically because he didn't go down quick enough.
The dome over the town was like central to the whole premise of the movie, correct? As I recall.
Yeah, and I wish I remembered more of the plot. But then again, what did I say? The plot doesn't matter. It's just the funny scenes. It's the
plot
things.
Doesn't matter. But here's the catch with the Simpsons movie is, what am I gaining that I can't get out of watching 110 minutes of Simpsons TV shows, which, by the way, nobody's watching.
Right. And also, because it's animated, you're not going to get this incredible superior quality of animation.
No.
It'll be a little more polished, but you literally don't care about that.
No, not in that animation anyway. Some animations are astounding in the theater. The Spider-Verse stuff, right? Where, you know, those were visually amazing. The Simpsons is crude. It was crude when it was fresh 40 years ago.
It's not South Park crude. Like, people wonder why I'm not a more of a South Park guy, because they understand my humor, my sensibilities, and they're like, you would love it. And I go, yes, I've seen clips. I know it, but their animation is too crude for my tastes. And by crude, I don't mean improper. I mean, just primitive. Like, the aesthetics of the animation is ick to me. It needs to be a little bit more polished. But the best scene was President Rainier Wolfcastle, who was presented by the generals with 5 unthinkable options.
I'm listening.
Well, I've narrowed your choices down to 5 unthinkable options. Each will cause untold misery.
I pick number 3.
You don't even want to read it first.
I was elected to lead, not to read. Number 3.
He cuts them off halfway. 3. you don't want to read them first? I was elected to lead, not to read.
That's very, very good. Yeah. The Conan O'Brien years when he was writing The Simpsons were just killers. It was a funny, funny show. And it has done it has limped along now for the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years. The IMDb episode ratings are half of what they were from the early days. And yet the Simpsons are still there.
So, is the quality of the Simpsons, because I have not watched in a long time, is the quality lesser objectively?
Well, if you believe that as a metric, the IMDb episode rankings, then absolutely. Okay. They are extremely bad, yet the show goes along. We're at a point now, Zabe, I'm stunned. Everybody who has voiced The Simpsons is still alive. I mean, that was not a given. Given how old the show is now, 35 years? I'm going to go 35 years.
Longest running continuous TV show in history, in television history, linear history, long outpacing Gunsmoke, which I believe had been the previous record holder for straight episodes. All right, let's get to the
unbelievable run.
Let's get to the football. Last night, the Dolphins, wearing these god-awful black uniforms, beat the New York Jets to go to 1-3. The Jets are 0-4. But the big headline is Tyreek down there somewhere, and he is down there in pain. A totally blown up left knee where the prognosis, even a good prognosis, is grim. We take it to Dr. David J. Chow, Pro Football Doc on Twitter, derisively called Dr. Chow Chow by my former colleague, John Kuhn, who said, this guy is a complete fraud. And I said, yeah, but he knows a few things. Here's Dr. Chow Chow on what Tyreek Hill is facing.
He did not have surgery last night is actually good news. The fact that he's having surgery today is good news. Why? Because if his artery were damaged, he would have had surgery last night.
He goes on to say, you can't hear that, Charge, because it's on the wrong computer. But he said that they got to reconstruct his knee with multiple surgeries, out at least a full year, maybe 2 full years.
That's a career, Zabe. That is a career for Tyreek Hill.
Is it though?
Here's the thing. This could be like Adrian Peterson, where it will be a very inauspicious end to his career. Adrian Peterson needed to make child support payments and had to keep trying to cash NFL checks. Maybe that's going to be the situation with Tyreek Hill. I have no idea what his financial situation is.
Oh,
but
I have no idea. I tell you, it's fucking shitty. Guy's got a ton of baby mamas.
He's got it. Look, it counts, man. You know, because they're all making real money based on your NFL
and the
level
courts,
of salary.
And the courts have no reasonability when it comes to that. They're like, well, that's the number. Sorry, buddy. Maybe you can find another job that pays $10 million a year. No, you can't. He definitely can't.
I believe 31 years old. If his comeback year is 33 and your trademark was your cutting ability, and now you have a multiple reconstructed knee, I don't like his chances either.
The number is 11. According to Gronk, Tyreek Hill has 11 children by court records. He had 5 born last year.
Oh, my God.
And it was five different mothers. How are his finances? Fucked.
Maybe he's living a very frugal life. I doubt it. Maybe that's going to be the case. How do you think it was that he was on the cart being wheeled into the locker room and he's laughing, smiling, and waving in that moment when his knee was utterly destroyed and dislocated?
No, he hates Tua that much, would be my answer. He realizes, shit, my career is over. I'm in excruciating pain, but no more that stupid Hawaiian who can't hit the broadside of a barn left-handed. No, it was weird. He actually clapped and then raised his hands and could be seen saying thank you, which you could say thank. He might have been responding to the fans who were cheering him, like thank you.
I think so.
But that was probably it. But he was just way too upbeat. Now, again, excruciating pain, going into shock. You're on the roller coaster ride of a lifetime. Once you get hurt like that, at least that's what my co-host Brian Butch, who had 2 major horrific injuries in his basketball career. He blew out his patellar tendon, the kneecap was halfway up his thigh.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. They had to shove it back down into place. And then the other injury was a exploded elbow, a fractured elbow, as he got undercut, low-bridged, going up for a rebound, landed on it. Still, great attitude for a guy that had those 2 brutal injuries and would have been in the NBA for at least 10, 11 years as a guy who's a 7-footer who can shoot, made probably easily $50 million, probably $100 million, and he's waking up at 6 a.m. slogging out radio with yours truly. I mean, he's got a great attitude for that. Fucking love Butchie for that.
And you know what? If you're 7 foot tall, you can do exactly what you just said. You can just sort of hang on, make your 6 points a night, get 3.5 blocks, an occasional steal. You know, you can hang on in the NBA for 10 years like that. It's amazing how much money those guys make, and you never have to work again, and it's a great life. And I don't know enough about Brian Butch's collegiate playing days, but man, that would be hard.
Butch was really good. He slow start to his career at Wisconsin, but then was good. I don't think he was an All-American, but he was on the cusp of it. He was originally on the cover of Sports Illustrated once. He came in. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was fairly big time back in the day. But
I've got a newfound reverence for Brian Butch. I mean, I've been just sitting here making fun of him for like 3 years.
I know.
Who knew?
Right, exactly. But the other game last night, and first of all, how do you feel about 2 games on Monday night staggered by an hour?
It's the staggered by an hour that's stupid. The way they did it in week one is the way you do this. You have an East Coast game that starts at like 6 o'clock. Well, that'd be Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time.
Okay.
And then you start a Pacific game 3 hours later. So they don't run on top of
right. But
advantage of this, having them run on top of each other, which most of these 2 did, is if one game 6 hour commitment. And that part I do like. But if you love football and you want to watch all the plays, all the times, all the ways possible, they should be staggering them by roughly 3 hours, which is what they did in week one. I don't understand the 1 hour stagger and what the league really gains in that.
What if I love football and still only want one game on Monday night? Is that acceptable for you as an answer?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because that's definitely where I'm at. I just don't I'm of the mindset of if you got two Monday night games, you have none. If you have two relievers, if you have two closers in baseball, you really have none. If you've got two quarterbacks, you really have none. The Bengals don't have any quarterbacks because Jake Browning has shown his full ass the last 2 weeks.
Here's the thing.
Oh, here comes Charge. He's a Browning truther.
I am. I think he's non-awful. You know how I love my non-awful quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He is getting the worst blocking in the NFL. It's not close. They rank dead. The Bengals rank dead last in pass block win rate. Nobody could succeed with that offensive line. Joe Montana could not succeed with that offensive line. He's got good receivers. It's just the guy is, you would, for a player of his caliber to have to overcome what his line is putting on is totally unreasonable. And he can't do that. But I don't think he's the problem. It's a franchise that got Joe Burrow with the first overall pick, when every franchise in 100 out of 100 franchises would have taken Joe Burrow number one that year. Then they have proceeded, when Joe Burrow's blossomed into arguably the best pure passer in the NFL, they've proceeded to not do anything with their offensive line. It's so stupid. You know, you've got Joe Burrow who, as long as he is upright, always gives you a chance for greatness and to win every game and maybe even go to a Super Bowl. And here's the Bengals not spending requisite picks, free agency, on the offensive line to just keep him upright. It's so dumb. It's like what Indy did to Andrew Luck. Houston's done it to CJ Stroud. Man, when you get the elite quarterback finally finds his way to your team and you are set at the hardest position in sports to fill, for the love of God, put a fantastic offensive line in front of him and don't worry about getting that middle linebacker that you so desperately think you need instead.
The Bengals were outgained 530 yards to 120. The Bengals were out first down like 29-7. The Bengals crossed midfield once on their first drive and then said, "Nah, you guys have that side of the field. We're just going to stay over here.
We're good over here.
We're
good."
Even Troy Aikman called them non-competitive, which is a searing verbal insult from the normally milquetoast, wants-to-be-everyone's buddy, Troy Aikman. Mr. Good Job himself.
I was going to say, did he give him a bad job? That would have been I'd have been really impressed.
Right, then you would know, like, wow. Aikman's on one tonight. He gave him a bad job. It's a really bad job there. Not done. Not well done. So, but this is the problem now. Like somebody points out, the NFL is stretching their taffy so thin with their content spread starting on Thursday night. We go through this in You're Looking Live every week. We say it's the 1-1-7-2-2-1-1-1-1 lineup of games. Stretch the taffy. And many of you fantasy guys like you, Charge, and gambling degenerates, they want the taffy spread as far as it can be because this is their life. The more casual fan or the non-degenerate fan, I think, would prefer a little bit tighter clustering of this is the rhythm of a football weekend. Thursday, one game. Sunday, morning, afternoon, and then one at night and one on Monday. We don't want two on Monday. But that might just be me.
Right.
But with the stretching the taffy, now you had last night, you had bad product on display at both places. The Jets game against the Dolphins was very poorly played. Lots of mistakes. Lots of dumb football, like from the Jets, who had their punt returner fair catch a ball at the 2. Like, how hard is it to stand with your heels at the 10 and know as they kick it, don't move past anything that doesn't land in front of you? How fucking hard is that? But that said, so you've got bad football. I mean, there was a ton of penalties in both games, injuries as well. And when a team like the Bengals has so much invested in their quarterback and two wide receivers, one injury renders them non-functional. This is a problem, I think, for the league. Maybe not.
You know, there aren't enough good quarterbacks to go around. There never will be. There's never going to be 32 good ones. And our standards have only gotten up, only moved up, I think, in what we expect from our passers.
Sure.
So that's a problem. You're talking about stretching the taffy. You know what drives me crazy is the 10 early games at noon Central, 1 o'clock Eastern.
Yep.
And then there's three afternoon or four.
Four at most, usually.
Yeah. Four at most. That's right.
Although, because they want, and I think they do some weeks they've had five if there's a heavy concentration of West Coast home games.
That would be the only scenario.
If Seattle, San Fran, Vegas, LA, one of the two LAs, and Phoenix are all playing West Coast, that's five. I'm counting with my fingers. Nobody can see me right now. I think that's the only way you get five games in the late afternoon window, and they do it, you're going to say, because of TV. They want that game of the week, the 425,
right,
to pop. Well, guess what the game of the week was scheduled to be in 2 weeks at Lambeau? The Bengals against the Packers. And they have not flexed off.
That's when Joe Burrow
was upright and healthy.
They nixed it.
And now he's not.
Yeah.
Speaking of Burrow.
What's funny about that scenario specifically is Green Bay and Cincinnati, they were going to be the 4 o'clock Eastern start or whatever, the 4:30 Eastern start. They don't just leave that game there and show it to fewer households. They move that game early because that's how committed they are to only having the three or four games in the late afternoon window, which, bugs me.
Look at this. The late afternoon game on Sunday was a dog shit game between the Ravens and the Chiefs. Lamar either was benched or took a seat because of an injury, quote unquote. So that game was dead by the first quarter almost. It was pretty much out of control. Sunday night was a wildly entertaining tie, but nobody likes ties. And then there was two duds on Monday night. So I don't know. We'll see. The league is not worried. The league just keeps printing money left and right. On the uniform front, are you okay with these so-called NBA City Connect style rivalry jerseys?
I know you're going to say no. I'm fine with it.
Okay,
I don't like that we all look like XFL. It's like XFL uniforms.
Right.
You're like, what?
But for your Vikings,
every now and again.
For your Vikings, what would you tolerate as the most exotic look?
Well, they did an all-white uniform last year. That was awesome. I loved it. Blizzard, all-white, Minnesota, winter. I thought it was really, really good. I thought that was fun.
What about a black one? All black. Blackout bikes.
Okay, maybe. Maybe. I thought the Dolphins, you didn't like the Dolphins uniforms last night. I thought the helmet was super cool, but I didn't like the all black uniform.
No, they sucked. And you couldn't see the numbers either. Broadcasters had to be losing their minds because the contrast was non-existent on the uniforms between the numbers and the jerseys. Look, I know what you're thinking. Here's the bald guy talking about hair loss treatments. Well, the irony is not lost on me, folks. But here's the thing. Hims isn't just about hair restoration. They're tackling real health issues that some guys deal with but just don't want to talk about or wait in the doctor's waiting room. No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. They offer convenient access to prescription treatments with doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can stop hair loss and even regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments, no waiting rooms, no hoops, no hidden fees. Think of Hims as your digital front door for trusted treatments. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe for your free online visit. Go to Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched
dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
But I want to get back to Burrow for a second. Joe Burrow is married to, not married to, but he's dating Olivia Pontone, who is a 23-year-old American model, social media influencer, and content creator. She's signed modeling deals with IMG. She's walked runways, appeared in campaigns for big brands like Love Shack, Ralph Lauren, Skims, and more. And she's got 2 million Instagram followers. However, she was in Paris at Charles de Gaulle Airport and decided to film her meltdown.
So I'm in the Paris airport, and I'm so fucking lost, and there's no signs, and nothing makes sense. Like, it keeps telling me to go to 2D, and there's no 2D doesn't exist. And nothing works here. It keeps telling me to come down these freaking stairs, but then when I come here, the train only says that it goes to M, L, and K, and I need to go to fucking D. Like, what does that even mean? I've literally been walking around this fucking airport for like 30 minutes just bawling my eyes out, and I'm just like, hello, I'm so lost. I can't with this airport.
Wow.
She is 23 years old, not 11 or 15. The comments on this post are amazing, Charge. People saying, first of all, they're like, yeah, the airport's a bit confusing, but they speak a lot of English there in France. Yeah. And you're a pretty woman. That, trust me, they'll help you go where you need to go.
Somebody will give you an answer.
The best was somebody said, Tom Hanks stayed a year in an airport once and didn't get as flustered as you. What was the name of that movie that he was stuck in the airport?
Terminal. I think it was called Terminal. Yes. He was stuck in an airport for a year. And on KFAN, they have for about 15 years, up until this year when I moved, they had a contest called the Crush Charge Challenge, and it was the morning show would have a penalty for the loser of the challenge every year, and the penalties would be unique. A couple of years ago, it was the loser had to put their face on a billboard downtown that urged people to get STD protection and get tested.
I remember you telling me about example. That. That is so incredible.
One of the penalty years, and I don't know that it was the best one, but it was still a pretty good one. The loser had to take models of the winner's genitals with them through airport security and then had to stay there awake for 24 hours. Could not sleep, could not use any electronics.
What do you mean models?
They got models.
Like they're medical?
Apparently their services.
Yeah.
No. There are services that will, much like you used to get with your mouth guard, where you'd boil your mouth guard and then you'd put it in your mouth and it would form to your teeth. There are some services out there that will do that with your genitals, men. And then
Amazon has a clone a Willy do-it-yourself penis and balls molding kit, light skin tone. Oh my God, Charge! Right. I'm today years old learning about this madness. Click add to cart. Click order. Click ship.
It's a ship to Charge.
Oh my God.
Ship it to me, Zabe, I can assure you that you will receive the finished product in the mail, and then what you do with that will be your own business.
Wow, there's a Sigma Tech 3D printing your own personal cock replica, a step-by-step guide to quality and accuracy. Oh my God.
Okay. Down to the hair.
Hold on, I'm at sketchfab.com. 3D model of erect human penis modeled from a real 3D scan model and then reworked to erase imperfections. And it's made me punch through two warnings of, are you sure you want to see this enable restricted content? Oh my God, there it is.
I'm not surprised.
That is disgusting right there, right down to the stubbly balls and everything.
What I love about this one, which I had never heard of before, is it will erase all my herpes warts.
Hello. Oh, my God. Charge, I'm sending you this link. You got to see the 3D model. And I guess you download it and you 3D print it yourself on your own 3D printer. Hey, and look, hon. Remember that 3D printer you didn't want me to get because it was a waste of money?
I do not have a 3D printer, which is surprising because I really should.
But, it really is.
That's off-putting. Oh, jeez.
Accurate, but off-putting. In fact, it is the accuracy which is most off-putting about it.
I think for my wife's birthday is coming up in November.
Hey,
I think if I gave her the exact replica, she'd be like, I can get this whenever I want. Why would I want that?
Well,
why
would I want the exact replica? The fake one is always ready. Fake one's always good to go. Fake one is never trying to scan for RB4s that could be moving up the depth chart. The fake one is just ready to fuck right here, right now. And then when you get it for her, you can then play the infamous Lonely Island song, Dick in a Box. I'm gonna give you something so you know what's on my mind. What's on my mind? A gift for your special, so take off the top. A 3D model of my junk. It's in a box. Not gonna get you a diamond ring. That sort of gift don't mean anything. Not gonna get you a fancy car. Girl, you gotta know you're my shining star. Not gonna get you a house in the hills. A girl like you needs something real. Wanna get you something from the heart. Something special, girl. So the loser had to stay for 24 hours in the airport with nothing.
Yep, and awake, nothing to do. Yep, and no electronics. Yep.
And what, with your fake dick and balls sitting next to you?
Well, you didn't have to have it out, but you did have to bring it through. And it was all the other hosts made replicas of their own junk. And you had to bring those through.
All of them.
The winning hosts. Yeah. Yeah, that's not a half bad loser penalty right there.
That, you know, you guys are sadists when it comes to the loser penalties. Like, I would never participate in that. My life is harsh enough as it is. I don't need loser penalties for fantasy. Okay,
You're already getting up at 4 a.m. So yeah,
no, I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. 6 a.m. But it's still too early. That said, I want to end on this. I sent you a link to a really good piece on YouTube. This guy, Brett Coleman, K-O-L-L-M-A-N, who has a YouTube channel, and he also has a podcast called Bootleg Football. He is the guy that produced this very good video last year, deconstructing the tush push and why it works, with a lot of data, a lot of film work. He used to work for NFL Films. And he now does this stuff on his own. So he knows football, didn't play football, but knows it. And he explains a trend that is happening right now that I was vaguely aware of, but not fully. And his piece is titled, They Broke the Kickoff. Returners are in absolute hell. There are three guys in the league right now working on knuckleball kickoffs that are completely flummoxing return men and return units. Thanks to the new rules that say if you take the ball as a touchback in the end zone, you only get it at the 20. Here is what he explains. I'm going to play 1 minute of the audio, then you can give your thoughts. Did you watch the whole video?
I didn't get to the very end because I had a job.
I got
about two-thirds of the way through it.
Okay, that's okay. Here we go.
Any team is to just play the odds and have as many of their opponents' drives start from as bad of a starting field position as possible. No matter how bad your defense is, any unit is going to benefit from that field position advantage. And no matter how good an offense is, they're going to have a significant obstacle to overcome if they have to get an extra 10 to 15 yards per drive just to get into scoring range. Which, of course, brings us to one of the most consequential rule changes in modern NFL history. This past offseason, the league changed the starting field position for a touchback on a dynamic kickoff from the 30-yard line out to the 35-yard line in an effort to increase return rates. And boy, did it ever work. Teams could stomach having their defenses start drives at the 30-yard line last year because at least that was still semi-manageable for them.
38%.
The average scoring drive percentage from that starting field position was about 38%. But for drives starting just 5 yards further at the 35-yard line, that average scoring drive percentage goes up to just under 44%. If you compare that roughly 44% of a touchback to the 35 to the potential average scoring drive percentage, if you can get a good coverage unit and bottle up a returner at, say, the 25-yard line, that scoring drive percentage drops all the way down to 33.6%.
So a 10% spread there. These knuckling kickoffs, and there's only three kickers doing it right now. One of them is Josh Carty for the Rams. Carolina's kicker, who I think is a rookie, seventh rounder, is doing it as well. And I believe Brandon Aubrey, as if he wasn't enough of a weapon.
Good enough, yes.
Has also started figuring out this knuckle kickoff. It is the weirdest flying, sideways spinning, unbelievably bouncy, crazy kick. And it's due in large part, according to Brett Coleman, and according to the kickers around the league, is because the league changed their K-ball rules to allow teams to prepare the K-ball well in advance of game time. You used to get 1 hour. The equipment slappies only had 1 hour before kickoff to rub up and treat up the K-balls. Now they're letting them do it well before the game, but they still have to be inspected by the referees. And because they can now prep the balls to be as grippy as possible, as tacky as possible, legally, some of these kickers have figured out a way to kick fucking knuckleballs that bounce early, bounce before the kicker, which, remember, the line can run as soon as the ball hits the ground. So you're getting a five-yard jump on the return man because you're knuckling bouncers at him, and he can't just let it go into the end zone because then you're only out at the 20. That's negative.
20, yep.
And so you have to try to field it, and they're fumbling it, they're stumbling it, they're getting buried. All the numbers that Brett Coleman in this piece references shows how statistically advantageous it is for teams with kickers who know how to knuckleball it.
It's such a big advantage, Zabe. I mean, think about the 10-yard differential between the 35 and the 25. If the return is going to get to the 25, which seems about average, that's like getting a sack on a drive, a 10-yard sack, which is a deep sack. That's like getting a sack on a drive. And we pay defensive ends millions and millions of dollars to be awesome at sacks, and try to get a defensive end who's going to get 14 sacks over a whole season. So he's getting like 0.8 sacks a game. If your kicker can erase that same 10 yards and you're paying your kicker, you know, $700,000.
All right.
It's
but
a
charge,
huge advantage.
Don't quite go apples to apples on that, because sacks involve loss of down and it's loss of down and loss of yards. It's more and so you know, you're losing a down and then your line to gain becomes second and 18. So it's a lot more, is still more valuable. Yes. But you're right, the yards do add up. And apparently, even though the average starting position through 4 weeks this year in the NFL is the 30-yard line, last year it was the 30-yard line, but it was the 30-yard line last year because there was a huge amount of touchbacks. There was 75% touchbacks.
Yes.
Now the number has flipped. There's over 75% of returns now with this one rule change alone.
In the Dublin game, Greg Olsen was mocking the NFL because they had to try to put up a, they put up a video trying to explain the kickoff to these poor people in Ireland who are just trying to enjoy the game. And they're like, you're trying to explain the landing zone and if you do or don't field it and everything else. And Greg was like, you know what? It's probably not just worth it. Just go enjoy the game.
Yeah. It took me a while to go, okay, let me get this straight, because I knew they had changed the kicking rules. Didn't think much of it. But then I started seeing how every team was now making other teams return it. And the numbers bear it out. Almost 75%+ this year so far. Find a knuckleball kicker, I guess, is the lesson of the story. or teach your kicker how to kick knuckleballs.
Yeah, I bet a lot of them will learn it. It'll become a learned trait, and these guys will extend their careers because they can do it.
All right, Church, as always, a pleasure, my friend. We will talk to you next week. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Jose.
Yeah, what? Yeah,
listen to this when it's coming. You know what it is?
What?
It's a drum solo.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums,
Oh,
eh?
Get out. It is not. You're
it
lying.
Is so.
Stop
I
lying,
learned.
Will you?
Take off, eh?
Oh,
take off!
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sportsbook that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.